And so give it up for Jason, you guys. We'll... And so he's been leading our youth ministry, and we're very excited. So I asked him to team teach with me today and team preach. And so I get excited because, you know, when where there, be very honest, where there is youth, there is life. You know, I believe in older generations, God gives wisdom, but we all know that the younger generation has all the energy, do they not? And so they suck it out of the old people and they take it for themselves. And so, and I remember as a kid, I said, Lord, you know, I had all this energy when I was young. I could really use all of that now. And so, but, you know, but we're really excited. So Jason's going to be partnering with me today. And I just want to say publicly to all of you how proud I am of Jason and how excited I am to see what he's doing and is going to do with our youth. And so he does a great job. He connects with them. You know, it's he's one who is passionate about it. When we sit and we talk about youth ministry, he gets excited about it, and he believes that God has a purpose for this next generation. And so with that being said, we want to get into the message this morning. And so we are in a season of faith. We're in a season of talking about the faith that God calls us to live out the life that God has purpose for us. And so this morning, we want to look at forward faith. Where is my faith moving me forward? Where is my faith bringing me to the place that God has for me so that I can accomplish his purposes in my life? There's a couple of verses we want to look at this morning that will be some groundwork to our message. The first one is Hebrews 12:2. It says this, look unto Jesus, who is the author, the one who began in me, and the finisher of my faith. He's the one who started and finishes the faith that he is working out in me, whether it's a faith of belief in him, but also the life of faith that I live out in him as he accomplishes his purpose and his will in my life. And so he's the author and finisher of my faith. And then it says in Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so in this faith that God calls me to, I can move forward in it because I know that God has already gone before me and he is already present in those situations where I may be worried, I may be concerned, I may have doubts, I may have uncertainty. God's already there. And so I can move forward in faith because God is already present in the places that I'm going. There's a game I used to play, and to be honest, I actually forget the name of the game right now because it's been a long time since I played it, but I remember it. I would sit there and it would start out by, your whole goal is to go into different villages and you'd take over that village and, you know, you're just, it's, you know, those battle games where you want to win. And in a lot of games, I want to win because that's the whole point of games, right? Winning. That's why I get excited when the A's are winning because I want my A's to win. And they won last night. They've won 5 in a row, and we are very excited about that. Today, the Niners right now are going to be defeating the Bengals because we like it when we win. That's right. So, yes. But there's this game. What was interesting about the game is the only way that you could see what was on the map is you'd have to go to that place. Otherwise, it would be black. It would be on the screen. You wouldn't be able to go there. And so in order to know where to go, I had to go there. And I remember I played this a lot, and it was a lot of fun, and I was okay at it. I'd kind of win. I just, you know, it takes a lot of planning and skill and patience, and that would just be frustrating. So, but I remember, you know, it seems like sometimes that was what faith was like. Is I had, in order for me to know what was going to happen, I had to get there, didn't I? In this journey of life, right, there are things that maybe happen in your life that you didn't plan, you didn't expect, you didn't know that it was going to be there, but yet you have to often go in the dark towards the life that God is leading you into. But here's the thing that I always thought was interesting about this game is the things that were happening were already in place. They were already there. They were already going to be present. And I think in the same way, you know, maybe the things that are going to happen, we don't know if they're going to be there, but you know who I know is already there with me, is that God goes before me. And so while I feel like I'm going in the dark at times in faith, I know that God is already present, and he brings to the light the things that I need to see, and he reveals to me the truth that I need to know, that he is already present, and God is with me. And so we're going to look at four things this morning, and the first one we want to look at is this, is that we're called to have faith to the future. Again, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Again, in Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus, will complete it. He will be the one that completes this faith journey that God calls us to. And so sometimes what do? We stall, we don't move forward, we stop, and we miss out oftentimes on what God has for us because we either stall out in fear, we stall out in uncertainty. You know, if you've ever driven a car, I don't know if a lot of cars stall as much anymore, but when you had, you know, cars that had clutches, right, the ones you'd burn out, you know, every 6 months when you had a, Metro. It wasn't quite a Metro, but it was one like that. A Chevy Sprint. I burned it out, two clutches in like 6 months one time. Then my parents got wise, and I think they realized I shouldn't drive a clutch. But I remember it was fun, right? But there's that thing. You'd sit at a light, and you might stall out. And I think sometimes in life, we kind of stall out, and we are afraid to move forward to the future that God calls us to. And so it's a faith that moves forward to the future that God is calling us to. And you think about the story of Abraham. It says this about Abraham, is that God called Abraham to a land that he had never been to. It's not unlike a missionary. It's not unlike what God calls some of you to. He calls you to something that you might not even be familiar with. I have a friend today that's planting a church in Oakland, and he never grew up there. You know, he was familiar with it maybe because of sports or he'd visited the city. But today he plants a church, he and his wife, in faith, having gone there in faith, believing God in faith that he was going to be the one to provide and accomplish what it is that God is going to do there. And so we have faith to the future because we know that God is already there. Abraham had faith to the future because he knew that God was the one who was leading him. Now, did he wrestle with it at times? Certainly. But he continued to trust that God was the one who was leading him. And so our faith is to the future because we know that God is already there. You see, Abraham didn't see the whole plan, but he went in obedience. He went in trust. And I think sometimes we have to do things in obedience even when we aren't certain. And so we get involved in a ministry even though we don't know if we have everything it takes. We get involved with kids ministry even though they scare us, but we feel like it's where there's a need. And so we fill it. You know, oftentimes people go, well, what's God's will for my life? Maybe it's right in front of you because there's a need that's present and you're the person that can fill that need. And I think sometimes we're often waiting for this mystical, omnipresent feeling that God is just going to zap us and we're going to be like, aha. One of the reasons I got involved in youth ministry is because I became a youth leader. And the reason I continued doing it is because I realized this is something that God was calling me to do, and it started by simply being obedient to fill a need that was present in the church. And I think sometimes we think, well, God, what is it you're calling me to do? And we keep waiting down the road while we're sitting in a chair, and right before us is the very thing that God is asking us to do. And so we often, you know, somebody, it's like a kid, what do you want to be? I want to be president. Well, only 45 people have been president in our whole, you know, existence as a nation. But maybe right before you, there's a need to be something. And so sometimes we think, oh, if only this, only that. But yet right before you, God might be presenting a need that he's calling you to fill in faith and obedience. And so sometimes in our giving, we give in faith, trusting that God's going to provide, trusting that God will take care of us. He had faith to lay ahead for what lay ahead because he knows who the creator and the finisher of his faith is, and he knows that God is in the business of completion. I can live my life in faith because God regularly is at work in my life, moving us towards a place of completion. So when I worry, when I have doubt, when I am uncertain, when I remember and uncertain, I can remember that God is already there because God is the author and finisher of my faith, and he also desires to see a completion in my life. Thank you very much. Thank you, Miranda. Hey, guys, she had a birthday yesterday. She's turned 21. Can we just celebrate? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so we are very proud of Miranda as well. Thank you, Adrian. And so we just thought since she came up here, she put herself on the spot. So make sure you wish her a happy birthday. But you think about it, you guys, God is in the business. He desires as much as you do, if not more, to see a completion in your life. And so we can live in faith in that. Go ahead, Jason. Here's some water for you.
Check, okay. Before we get into it today, I just want to just let my beautiful wife stand up, my smoking hot wife stand up right now. And my handsome son, he looks like a little baby disciple already, just a little cute turtle. But it was funny because this morning I came in, I was feeling a little bit nervous. Not really like super nervous, but just a little bit. And I ran in the pastor's office and I just ran it quick. I was like, I can't do this. And he was like,
hey, what?
He was like, just quit playing around. But it reminded me because when I get nervous, sometimes like I like really have to go to the bathroom, but I'm like, oh, I gotta go. And then it reminded me of one of my old pastors, my old leaders, goes to a different church and he had to use the bathroom really bad and had to preach and they called him on stage. They're like, Jake, whatever. And then he had to go to the bathroom and he took a dump and stuff. And then he went, cleaned up whatever, went out, and literally everything was like dripping down his legs. And he was walking on stage and he said he was like preaching and getting into it. And he was like, he was like, but that's how I felt. I was like, that might just, I'm wearing shorts too. So I was like, if that happens, it's going to be all bad. But we're going to get into the second point. The second point is faith in God to endure. And bear with me because, like, I need notes when I preach. And not really, but we're doing notes, so I have to get on board and do the notes too, because the way my mind works, I'm unorganized. My wife knows that I'm unorganized, so just bear with me. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Now, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of context. Is the author of Hebrews is talking about beforehand in Hebrews 12:1 that this race we're called to, there's sometimes weights in our life, and it doesn't have to be sin, but there can be weight in our life that slows us down in pursuing Jesus and pursuing God. And then it talks about how there's sin that actually trips us up, and so that slows us down even more, is a sin that we maybe consistently do or keep falling into. Anytime we're sinning, it trips us and slows us down from moving forward with our walk with God. And the only way we can actually start this race is by looking at Jesus, is starting to look at, and that's all it ever is Jesus. The whole point, the whole Bible, it points to Jesus. It's not that hard. It's all about Jesus. And to continue to keep running this race, you have to keep your eyes, your gaze, and your focus on Jesus. But how and why can we have faith to endure this race God has set before us? Reason be is because Jesus has already done it. Jesus went before us. Jesus already did it. And God's not asking us to do anything more than what Jesus has already done. And Jesus is the prime example of Christian endurance and everything that he went through. And if God was faithful with Jesus, and God's not a partial God. God's an impartial God, and we are his children too. If God was faithful with Jesus and gave him the strength through the Holy Spirit, he'll give us that same strength to endure and go through our own individual races day in and day out. I love how the Message Bible puts it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And that's the thing. Jesus, it says, we get strength from our joy. And it was the joy set before Jesus that kept him going, that gave him the strength to be alongside his Father and pleasing and obeying him and seeing us, being able to have a relationship with him. Those were the joys that were set before him. So don't forget, Jesus didn't forget where he was headed because of where he was at now. And that's what you can't do. Don't forget where God, what God promised you, what God has for you, where you're headed because of where you're at right now. If you consider Jesus while you're going through all your trials, your tribulations, it should give you hope that if he's done it, you can do it too. It should give you hope because it says in Romans 8:17, if we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So know that in your suffering, it's making you worthy to be glorified with God. Yeah, that's my last point.
Witness in the present. I love what he said. He's witness in the present to help us where he's taking us in the future. a faith moving forward, but it's also to endure as we move forward. You know, and I think it's realizing that, again, this faith that moves forward, God endures with us. And so because he's with us as we head to the future, and as we endure towards the future that God calls us to, we can have what would be our next point, which is an unwavering faith. It's an unwavering faith that we can hold on to. And so if God is already in the future, if God is already where he is promising to me, if he is where he is already leading me to, if he is already the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, if he already has what I need and he is the one who provides for me, therefore he enables me to endure as I journey in this faith that God calls me to, I can have an unwavering faith. Romans 4, 20 through 21, it's one of my favorite verses. It's actually kind of one of the life verses that I hold to, is this passage in Romans. It says this, it says that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Amen. Right. And so we can have unwavering faith because we trust that God is able. He helps me endure. He's already where I am leading. And so my faith is unwavering because I know that God is able to do what he says he's going to accomplish. You know, one of the things that I love about having Jason up here is one of the first things that he expressed to me when we met was his desire for ministry. And so my first thought was, man, how do we jump in on that? How do we help him through that? And so this opportunity to be able to partner with him and help him to learn what it means to do ministry and give him these opportunities, what an opportunity. And for him to have the faith to get up here, you know, and I don't know if you even have done a Sunday service before, but it's just the faith that he has to be able to step up and trust that God's going to work with him. Amen. Man, that's exciting. That's just so exciting. I remember the first time I got up in front of a group of people, I just blanked out. I stuttered my whole way through my Bible club that I was a part of, and I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Sat down. And then this one time I got up in front of our church, and I did this thing, and I blanked out. And I was just like, oh, dear Lord, I need your help. And I just sat down. It was so nerve-wracking. And so, but it takes a level of faith. And so it's so exciting to see that we get to partner together in what God is going to do, not only in what he has to share today, but in the youth ministry that we're developing in this church, reaching the next generation. And we want to put in them this call of unwavering faith that God calls us to help us endure, to help us to move forward in what it is that God is calling us to do. So not only is God ahead, and not only does he help me endure what the journey of life will bring, but I can have forward faith because I know that God is capable and able and willing to do what he said he would do. You know, I remember the prayer I prayed. You know, many of you know I've had hearing loss my whole life, and there have been times I've prayed for healing. There have been times I've prayed for help. You know, I always tell kids, whenever I see a kid with hearing loss, I'll ask them, I go, can you read lips? And they're like, yeah. I'm always telling them, I go, that's your superpower. That's what, you know, helps you. And so I can read lips. And it is kind of a superpower, but whatever. But I remember one time I was praying and I said, God, I really need, you know, Lord, you know, I have two requests, God, either heal me or help me provide, you know, some hearing aids. And I just had to trust and faith that God would provide. And I knew he was capable. But sometimes there were times I was like, God, are you going to be able to? And so, you know, as we began to talk with Eric from Hillside about coming here to this church, one of the things that he offered, and you've heard, some of you have heard this story before, but he said, hey, we remember that you talked about your hearing loss. And I had found out, I always thought it was 40%. I found out it was even worse. It was 50%. And so as I get older, it'll probably get worse, and someday I won't hear a thing, and then it'll be just so peaceful and quiet all the time. It'll be beautiful. But then it just out of the blue, he says, hey, can we help you get hearing aids? And so they covered all the cost of it. And if anybody wears them, if you've ever researched them, quality hearing aids are not cheap at all. God, who has a cattle on a thousand hills, is able to meet my needs for what I needed in that moment. Sometimes you're like, God, I need the most expensive car. And God's like, well, you don't really need that. But I can help you here with what you need. So God meets our needs. And so we can have an unwavering faith because we serve a God who is more than able. And so I don't need to waver in my faith because I know God is able. He has the ability to accomplish what he desires to do. My faith doesn't need to waver because I know God is willing. He desires to see completion in my life even more than I do. In those times that you're discouraged, in those times that you're frustrated, in those times where you might even be dealing with depression or just complete uncertainty, you might be in the process of giving up, but God is not in the process of giving up on you. And so we can live in faith and belief and trust. And so I don't waver in my faith because I know that God will meet my needs. His ability becomes the strength I need in the weakness or lack that I have in my life. His ability to provide my hearing aids helped me in a weak area of weakness in my life, which is my hearing loss. He helped me learn how to be comfortable speaking in front of people. Because again, when I was 18, starting a Bible club at Sutter High School, I literally stuttered and stumbled my whole way through. I remember I sat down and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But yet God, what does he do? He provides what I need. And so sometimes I have to remember as well those times where he has been faithful so that I can remember that he will continue to be faithful. Because there's times, right, you look in your bank account and you're like, there's nothing there. But then you realize God has provided, God is providing, and God will provide. So where do we live by faith and believing that it's not unwavering? So when we face an impossibility, we can be fully persuaded that God can and will do what is needed for you and for me. So go ahead.
Last point, faith in God while in the unseen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. So the context before this is, Paul is talking about how we have our earthly bodies and we groan to have our heavenly bodies, and we have to live by faith until we receive that, because once we leave these bodies, we're fully with Jesus in our bodies that he's created up there, and that God the Father has given us the Holy Spirit as basically a down payment of what we're supposed to receive that full promise. It's basically he gave us an engagement ring and we're just waiting on wedding day. And so that's just the context of it.
That's really good.
So now we must live and walk by faith, by believing while we're in these earthly bodies, and keep pursuing God and keep moving forward in our life. Living by faith is probably the most vital thing to it is the most vital thing to our faith. You can't live for God, you can't serve God, you can't do anything without faith. You guys have probably heard, there's a lot of people in the world that say, let me see it, then I'll believe it. Yeah. Which it's not the same for us as followers of Jesus. When I believe it, then I'll see it. And that's how it truly is with Jesus. When I believe it, then I'll see it. You can't always say, I'll see it when I believe it. Because God won't give it to you. You won't see it. You know, if you don't have the faith to believe it, God's not going to. God works off of your faith, your ability to trust him. James 1:5-8 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. It's saying if you don't even have faith in God and you're doubting God, that you probably won't receive anything from him. And the thing is, God literally works off of your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You have to have faith to walk with God. Faith is trust. Because you have to trust something that you can't see, something that hasn't happened yet, that God's telling you. And when you pray, have faith when you pray that anything you're praying for, you're asking for, even commanding, believing for, it's not just, oh, I'll get it. Believe it's yours. Like when you've paid for something online, it's yours. It's still coming, but it's yours. It's yours by faith, it's yours. I wonder how much the angels are amazed how we live, we serve, and we possibly die for God. We've never seen. The angels have seen God. The angels have seen Jesus, but we live for him. We've never seen him. The same thing with oxygen. Our body, we need it. We rely on it every day. It's the most vital thing to our body. We need it. And yet, we can't see it. And it's all around us still. The same thing with Wi-Fi. You guys probably rely... You guys probably rely on Wi-Fi more than oxygen. I know a lot of people that are on social media a lot. So, I mean, You do that for whether it be to socialize on social media, whether it be to buy stuff, whether it be whatever it is, you rely on that. Yet you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's all around you. It's the same thing with God, who's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's not just all around you, he's in you. And greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in this world. And it's truth. It's not just like you say this and build yourself, like this is truth. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, like, lives in you. You have to believe that. You can't just, you know, like, oh yeah, I know that verse, that's cool. Like, no, like, he lives in you. And sometimes, yeah, you have to do things to see God move, because God is a helper. Holy Spirit is the helper. He said, I'll send the helper. But he can't help you unless you're doing something. You know what I mean? This is your stepping out. He can't help you go see someone healed unless you're not laying hands and believing. He can't help you with your finances if you're not actually doing something about it and praying about it. You have to do your part, and God will meet you at the other side. I like how the Message Bible puts 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. I think it should say it's who we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. Because our faith is not in the thing, it's in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. We should have faith like Paul. When Paul was bitten by the poisonous viper, he had faith to keep moving forward. He didn't think about, oh, I'm getting, which, you know, nowadays we do a lot too, but you had to realize and understand, how can you have faith in God if you don't even have, like, that deep of a relationship? Like, trust, you're not just going to just trust someone that comes up, hey, I'll do this for you. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you have to know the person. You have to know Jesus. You have to know God. And I think that's why Paul, when he was bitten by that snake, he already knew where God was taking him. He knew he had to go to Rome. He knew the things he had to do. He wasn't stressing out. He wasn't worrying. He wasn't even probably thinking about dying. It's like, because his faith was that deeply rooted in God, because he knew, if God's hands on my life, nothing's going to touch me. Nothing's going to touch me. And that's how you have to be about things. Whether you have a gun pointed at your head, you have to believe that. And sometimes it's hard, like, because doubt tries to come in, the enemy tries to attack, but you have to get that faith. And that faith, I can't give you that faith. He can't give you that faith. God can give you that faith. And faith comes by hearing his word, so you need to spend time in seeking God in one-on-one and for him to able to give you that faith. Or like Peter, when Peter walked on the water, Jesus was calling him to do something impossible. We can't walk on water, you know? And probably there's no point to do it now, you know? It's not helping someone. It's not healing someone. It's not showing someone love. So, I mean, it's cool. If you go walk on water, let me know. I'll come check it out. Like, that's cool. But, I mean, there's no point in it now. But Jesus made a point. And when Peter came and walked on water, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, as long as he was focused on Jesus, he was able to keep moving forward. He was able to keep doing what God was calling him to do. But as soon as his eyes got off Jesus and got off on everything around him, everything that was going on, he started to doubt. And I think that's what we do a lot of the time. We get our eyes off Jesus. We get our eyes off who he is and how faithful he's been and everything he's already done. And we start like, oh, I'm not going to be able to pay bills this month. I'm not going to be able to do this. Oh, I can't. Whatever it is. Like he was saying, it could be anything, relationships, anything. And for me sometimes, when I've had a lot of faith to endure, for the future, all of this. It's all together. It ties in together. I've had to have faith for everything, because I prayed for a wife, and it wasn't even that long. He had to have real faith, because he's waiting years. I definitely respect him. That's a lot of faith, because he's waiting years, like decades. Like, that's long. No, I would have been like, hey, you sending her or not? Like, I'm like, you going to send her? Like, but me, it was only like a few years, but I was praying and I was like, God, I want a wife, I wanna be pure, I wanna all these things, and I want someone, I don't want to be lonely, and God sent that. God sent me more than enough. God sent me a beautiful wife, you know, and she's awesome, you know. Sometimes she'd be a little crazy, but you know, I definitely love her though, you know, and I gotta see her for who God wants me to see her for, so I just flick. But another thing I had a faith for was I have a son now, and I had to have faith. Like, God, I want a child. I want this. I want those things. Because as a little kid, when I was growing up, I didn't think I'd ever be. And even as I got in high school, I never thought I'd be married or something. Because in relationships that I were in, that it just, Nothing like with me. I just thought, oh, just it's not going to happen. Like, something's wrong with me. Nothing wrong, like, about how I look or how I feel. Just like, oh, something, just something that's not going to work out. Like, I'm not going to be able to find someone that likes me for me. And so it was cool when God, you know, gave me Morgan and gave me my beautiful son. And to this day, like, I still have to have faith. Like, I had faith that, God, are you going to provide opportunities for me to preach, provide opportunities for me to lead? How am I going to become a pastor? I was at a different church, and I wasn't getting the actual, you know, attention I needed. And then, not like that, but the attention and people pouring into me, people, like, speaking in my life as much as I need. And pastor gives me that. Like, pastor is awesome. I thank you, pastor, like, because I'm a knucklehead. Like, I know I'm a knucklehead. Like, so, yeah. I thank pastor because I'm definitely a knucklehead. My grandma, both my grandmas know that. Everyone knows that. My family knows that. So I'm kind of hard-headed. God's got to, like, so. But that's why he lets me go to our service. You want to learn? And so, and now I have to have faith every day because, you know, say still stuff like financial stuff, you know. Because my job as being a carpenter, and God told me to be a carpenter, and maybe that was just for then. I don't know, because I know some stuff God calls you for seasons. It's hard because sometimes I won't work for months because it gets slow or this happens, and you really have to get built in with a company and be stuck there for a little bit for them to be able to count on you and have you. And something that's even harder for that is that, you know, I've had people, whatever, pray, prophesy over me. God speak to me alone, show me stuff on my heart and dreams and confirm stuff through impressions. And it just is awesome, man of God, that I'll be, and I don't always see him. I don't always see this man of God I'm supposed to be. Like, it's hard. It's not easy because I still deal with stuff. I'm not committed like I know God wants me to be, and I it's something I'm striving for, but I'm not going to give up because I'm just not going to give up. I know if Jesus called me to do these things, I'm not. And that's the thing. If you're not fully living for Jesus, he knows you're not going to be perfect. So just start living for him. He knows that he'll change you, he'll grow you, he'll strengthen you. Because I love how, like, Pastor, I listen to this guy, Pastor Stephen Furtick, he's awesome, and he talks about how, thank God for, I'm not where I'm at, but I'm definitely not the man who I was. Because the man who I was when I first came to God was a whole nother man. I mean, you can ask my family. But the man I am now is a way different man, and that's only because of God. Yeah, I don't take credit for it. I don't take nothing. The reason why I'm like that, any of us, is because of God. You can't love without God. So people to act like that, it's not realistic. But I just, even having faith, yeah, to this man of God that who's committed and who's, and you're not always going to feel these things, like feel this way, like, oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to serve God. Like, I'll be honest with you. It's not like something's like, I don't want to. Like, it gets hard. Like, I'll be real with you guys. I'm not going to play the little, you know, Christian thing with you. Like, it gets hard. It's not easy. Like, there's a real devil that comes and attacks you. There's real trials. There's real tribulations. Because you'd probably be easier off if you weren't serving God, because you wouldn't be attacked. But then you also wouldn't be fulfilling what God has for you. You wouldn't be pleased, and your life would be empty. So, I mean, I'd rather much serve God, please God, because at the end of the day, that's all I got. If I don't have God, like I don't even want to live. Like, there's no point. There's no fulfillment. There's no purpose. There's no, everything that I felt that I searched for before I found God is here now. And I have the faith to keep pushing forward that regardless of what I go through. Oh, you can come up, Auntie, because I forget about that. The keys, everything. Yeah, I forget about it. You can do spiritual things like that. So, let a couple angels come in, you know, honey dripping. So, I don't know what it is for you guys today. Like, for me, like I told you, that's the biggest thing, is that I'm not the man of God God's calling me to be. I'm not the man that he wants me to be. And I hope that also gives you guys hope that if you guys aren't the person God's calling you to be, it's a process. God transforms you. God moves in your life. And sometimes you'll take big steps, and where you could just drop stuff, get rid of stuff, and God's moving your life. You change fast, and there's things where it's like it takes time. It takes, like, letting these things break you down. And that's the thing. God doesn't make microwave leaders. He puts people in the oven. He lets them go through things. He lets them, because it changes your characters. So I'll close this out with a prayer. But if there's anyone in here with all your guys' eyes closed, heads bowed, you guys, if there's anyone in here that wants to recommit or give their life to Jesus, if they haven't, I think all you guys are saved. That's not my job, though. It's not my business. But go ahead and raise your hand if any of you guys would like to give your lives to Jesus. And if it's not that, maybe it's a prayer for you to keep moving. You can come up. We have prayer leaders today. Yeah, prayer warriors. If you guys want, he's getting loud. He loves the message. If someone wants to come up and get prayer for just to keep moving forward in what God has called them to and in this faith and having this journey and having this faith, you guys can come up. And I'm just going to pray us out right now. Holy Spirit, I just thank you. Just thank you that you're here, God. I thank you. You just move in each individual lives. And keep, as they seek you, God, as they press in, as they draw near to you, God, you would give them faith, God. Because it says you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I thank you, God, that you would even help all of us to diligently seek you. And that's not just reading our Bibles, because people read the Bible and don't even believe in Jesus. And that's not just, you know, going to church. Because you can go to church and may not even really be saved. So let it be a true, sincere relationship to seek you, Jesus. I just thank you, God, you would move in each person's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and let's just sing this together. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Father, we pray, God, for this forward faith that you call us to. And God, we go into life and we move forward in life, Lord, oftentimes with uncertainty. But Lord, we know that we can put our faith in you and our trust in you because you are already there and you are already present and you are more than capable and able and willing to do what you have accomplished. And so we can have faith in the unseen. We can have faith that endures. Lord, we can have faith that is unwavering, and we can have faith that moves forward because, God, you are already with us, and you go with us, and you are already present in the places that you are leading us. And so, God, I pray that in this 90-day challenge, as we take it through September, October, and November into the holiday season, that, God, the things that we put before you, God, we will put before you in faith because we know in the God that we believe. We know that we can trust in the God that we believe and we can pray and know that you are faithful. God, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. Amen. You guys, hey, you want to give it up for Jason today? And so let's just believe God for great things this week. You guys, pray you have a great rest of the day. For those that are, again, in junior high and high school, 7 o'clock tonight, at our house, we want to invite you to that. Invite somebody next week. We're going to have another great Sunday. We want to invite you to that. You guys have a great week. We'll see you hopefully on Thursday for our prayer and worship night. See you guys later. Go Niners.